I'm Steve Dawson, and this is This Comedian's Life, a podcast where we talk to a variety of funny people about their lives in comedy. This week, I talked to actor Philip Keane, who has starred on hit TV shows like The Closer and Major Crimes. Philip plays Buzz Watson, a crime photographer for the LAPD. I asked Philip about how he prepared for the technical aspects of the role.
There were some basic equipment that I knew about and things like that. So, some of it wasn't that strange to me. But with all these new things that are coming in, they built a new room, the Racer Room, which is a real-time action and critical response unit, which is an actual thing that exists in the LAPD. And some of these are mobile command centers. But we have a new one on our set, and I've been tasked with sort of running this room. And it's, it's an emergency response room, basically. So we can track crimes going on, and I can transfer information from people's various computers and iPads and things like that, which is all green screen. And so I have to make up these motions as we go along. And a lot of it is just, I check in with our editing department and these guys there and our props people. So they help me out with all that stuff.
Was it a difficult learning process, or was it fairly straightforward when you started to get into it?
Oh, it was really straightforward. I mean, there's a couple of computer gurus on our set who,
nice.
As far as terminology and things like that, I always go to them, and I've got good resource material to work from. So
yeah,
if they were feeling challenged, I've got some good people to pull from.
Speaking of working with coworkers and mm-hmm. things, you've been working with some of the same people for quite some time now.
It's true. We've maintained most of our cast for nearly 12 years now.
Between wow.
And what's even more remarkable to me is that we have about 80 to 85% of our original crew, camera, props, up in our offices upstairs in our post-editing department.
Mm-hmm.
And that just doesn't happen. I mean, there's a lot of other shows where they'll cycle through crew, every year or so, but It's just a really great place to work, and I have to credit the creator and some of our other producers, and Mike Robin especially, with creating an atmosphere where people are encouraged to bring their A game, and if they see that they want to do something else within the different departments, they're given the opportunity, and if they do well, then, they can excel at that.
The Closer and Major Crimes have featured many guest stars through the years. Philip told me he almost killed one of his boyhood idols on set.
Have you had some favorite character actors come on that maybe you looked up to growing up that you maybe not freaked out, but were really happy that they were there?
Yes, and I almost killed him accidentally on the set. It was Tim Conway, and I was leaning up
wow.
against the wall because my friend Anna, who's one of our assistant directors, was scratching my back. I had this itch in the middle I couldn't quite get to, so I sort of leaned into her, who I thought was her, but it was actually an 18-foot ladder, and pushed it, and she caught it just before it hit Tim Conway in the head.
Did he have a funny quip for that, or did he just turn white?
He looked at me, and he said, if you don't want me on the show, all you have to do is say so.
Perfect.
But it was great working with him. There was an episode with him and Doris Roberts, bless her soul, she's no longer with us.
Right.
Marion Ross, Philip, Ron Glass, and there was a couple of others, but gosh, it was an amazing, amazing cast.
Before his acting career, Philip worked for Pan Am World Airways. He talked about how much he enjoyed the job and one of his most harrowing experiences in the air.
That was an amazing thing for me. I worked with some of the most incredible people, got to fly all over Western and Northern Europe, South America, the United States. By the time I started flying, the company had already sold the Pacific to United, so I didn't have the opportunity to fly there. But
mm-hmm.
amazing stories and people, and just it was probably the most influential job. That job had the most influence on me growing up, I think.
Why is that?
Just because of being able to travel so much and see different cultures and people, and just realize that as different as we may seem on the outside, we're all the same on the inside. We all want the same things. We want a safe place to live, and if we choose to have children, to be able to provide a place for them that is better than the one we grew up in. it just crosses all kinds of lines, whether it's racial, religious, socioeconomic. It's just we're all the same.
Now, I must tell you, I'm a little bit of a nervous flyer, but what gives me comfort is to see the flight attendants and think, they've done this 3 times already in the past 12 hours, so what should I be worried about? Have you ever had some hairy times in the air when you were working for Pan Am?
Yeah, this was, I was a flight attendant, and there was an opportunity for me to upgrade to the next position, which was purser, which is basically like a floor manager or the fourth in charge on that particular aircraft that I was working.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going through all my testing phases, and one of them was to do a flight back and forth from your home base. So my supervisors are on board, and on our way back to London, 2 of our 4 engines caught on fire.
Oh my gosh.
I had to maintain very stoic face and reassure all my passengers that everything is going to be okay. Meanwhile, the wheels in my head are reeling. Going over all the emergency procedures, and I've got to brief my crew. And mind you, I've only been flying for 6 months at this point.
Wow.
So it was very dramatic, and the ending was very strange. We had 2 passengers on board who were being deported from the United States, being sent back to a Middle Eastern country for review, most probably execution.
Uh-huh.
The other purser had their passports in hand, and once this emergency presented itself, she handed those passports back to the passengers as we had to leave the aircraft. And within the next 10 or 11 hours, they brought us a new aircraft. Everybody was back on board except for 2 people. Can you imagine who were missing?
Oh, no.
So they've taken their passports and flushed them down the toilet, and they're seeking political asylum. Well, we can't leave until it's either granted or denied. So that was another 2 or 3 hour delay, and it was an interesting day, let me tell you. It was about a 37-hour duty day.
Philip is also a board member for a foundation that is near and dear to his past life experience.
I'm actually a board member of a foundation called Pan Am Museum Foundation, and we are creating a couple of fundraisers at the moment to raise monies to create a museum on Long Island
to honor
the legacy that was, that was Pan Am and its people. So that's what we're doing.
What will that museum look like? What do you envision it to be?
Well, currently it would be the mezzanine floor of the Cradle of Aviation Museum on Long Island, which is a great facility, and they have what's called a STEM program, and I forget what that acronym is for, but what it basically does is it reaches out to students in lower income areas and brings them to the facility and encourages them and helps them work in sciences and math so that these kids can see that they too could possibly do this as a career. Maybe not just fly a plane or be an astronaut, but everything else that supports those sorts of industries. So it's a great program. And as a result, the kids who get to attend this have a 90% graduation rate at high school.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a really, really good program.
And don't you own some pieces of Pan Am memorabilia?
Just a few thousand if you want to really be accurate.
Like, give me some highlights of your collection.
3,000 pieces in my collection. I've got some china dating back to the 1930s when planes used to take off and land on the water. I've got uniforms and actual pieces of the interior decoration of the aircraft, curtains, china, menus, matchbooks. They used to hand out lighters and knives to people on the plane as gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Way back when.
Why are those pieces so compelling for you?
It's not just the item itself. It is where that thing has been, who handled it, who made it, who created it. And it was a part of a broader scheme that Juan Tripp, who's the founder of Pan American Airways, decided would be a great thing, in that there's a quote from Mark Twain, and I'm going to tear it up. I'm not going to be able to get it right exactly, but it has something to do with the best way to get rid of prejudice and hate is to travel, because you get to see other people and it opens your mind.
Yeah.
So, and that's what Juan Tripp was really all about, not just making money, because of course it was a business venture, but also bringing the peoples of the world together, exporting American culture through travel, and then as a return, importing cultures from other worlds to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to Philip Keane for joining me this week. You can see Philip on Major Crimes every Monday night on TNT. For more information, you can find Philip on Twitter at Philip Keane. Thanks for joining us. I'm Steve Dawson for This Comedian's Life.